Well, what happened and why? We'll be discussing this while we're here together. And after the break this morning, as you all know, there will be a two-hour period called a Q&A there for discussion, open for questions, hopefully answers, and comments. I know there are a number of you who've approached me and said, may I just share some thoughts and feelings? And I said, certainly. So we are going to have a two-hour open session after the break this morning. And so I'm going to save my comments about what happened and why for that opportunity. There are many lessons that we need to learn from what has happened. If we're going to go forward and rebuild on a solid foundation that will endure, we all know there are many lessons that we must learn from what we have gone through. It's been a historic time, a hard time, a challenging time. Once again, for every pastor, elder, and every member of the Church of God, not just United, especially United, but also, as you know, the world is watching in that sense. All of the churches of God are watching what is happening in the United Church of God. This is a new beginning for the United Church of God, and we must be willing to learn from our mistakes, and we must be willing to make the necessary changes in our personal lives and in the organization. So what I'd like to do for my message is, which we all do, is look to the Word of God, the only answers, true answers, from God. The spiritual solutions and answers are here in the Word of God, not our opinions and points of view, which we share, which are helpful many times. But what is really going to matter in the long run, as we all know, is that what we are doing is based upon the Word of God, the laws of God, the principles of God. So let's review what God's Word says about laying the right foundation for our lives, and for the work of the church. So I'm going to be talking about the right foundation. If we build on the right biblical foundation, then what we are doing in the United Church of God will stand strong, and it will grow. Let's begin with a scripture we all know very well as pastors and elders and wives in Luke 14. We know this is one of those scriptures we have over the years used in baptismal counseling. So let's go to Luke chapter 14. So my message will focus on laying, building, renewing, strengthening the right foundation upon which United must be built in order for us to move forward and do the work of God and serve God's people. Let's begin in verse 27. Of Luke 14, where Jesus says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And we all know what that means. We pick up our burdens, trials, tests, whatever they may be, and we follow Jesus Christ. For which of you intending to build a tower, a building, an organization, a life, a business, anything, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I think we all are well aware that there are some out there who are mocking, who've actually made the statement, United will collapse. United will not make it. They're mocking us, saying we will fail. We're going to look, brethren, at the truth of the matter. Let's go next to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You know, and I know, that if we lay the right foundation upon God's word, God's laws, God's principles, God's truth, United will not only make it, United will be an instrument of God in serving his people and doing the work of God and proclaiming the coming kingdom of God as a warning and a witness to this world. Let's look at Luke 6, beginning in verse 46. And he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That applies to all of us, doesn't it? Everyone. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation." Now, we're having to dig deeper right now spiritually. The tougher the trial, the tougher the test, the more you have to dig deep, as we all know, spiritually, to draw closer to God. The tougher the trial, the tougher the test, the greater the opportunity for spiritual growth. "He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against that house." And sometimes we feel the trials and tests beating vehemently, don't we, upon our lives and upon the church. It says, against that house, "and could not shake it because it was founded on the rock." And that's the way we have to be founded. We know that this is talking about Jesus Christ, the rock. And it goes on in verse 49, "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So if we will build, brethren, and whoever may be listening, connecting in today through the internet or later watching this, we will build upon the rock and upon God's holy word, and we will lay a solid foundation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if we will now examine our foundation in our own personal lives and the foundation of this church, the United Church of God, which is a part of God's church, you know, we all know and understand and agreed when United began, is that we are part of the people of God, part of the church of God, the spiritual called out ones that have God's Holy Spirit. Whoever they are, wherever they are, on the face of the earth, we are part of those people, the church of God. And we recognize that and know there are many of God's people and many brethren out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's begin in verse 10. Because we're talking about building our lives and our part of the church of God on the rock. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder," and may we all be wise master builders, "I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." So we need to take heed. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We all know that. Without him, without looking to him, without faith in him, without recognizing him as the Savior of the body, the head of the church, there is no kingdom of God. He is the king. He is the one coming. It is the gospel. Part of the true gospel of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. We know that. Many scriptures point that out. And that's why our mission statement refers to that, of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. He is the foundation. And what we want to do properly, biblically, we know God the Father is over him. He said, "Pray to the Father, worship the Father. I turn everything over to the Father." But the Father also said, "This is my Son. He is your leader, your head, your Lord, your Savior, your Master. Hear him, follow him, obey him, serve him." And that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity, is serving under Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, and we know that everyone's personal spiritual life is different. I don't know who prays and who doesn't pray. I don't know who studies the Bible. You don't know and doesn't. All you know is what you do in your own life. Maybe your wife's life. Maybe someone close to you, you may know. But most of us don't have a clue what someone else's personal, private, spiritual life is really like. And that's what this is talking about. That personal relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and how we build on that foundation of our relationship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, each one's work will become manifest or will become known, will become evident. For the day, the events of the end of the age, the trials and the tests that come, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And so it is through these trials and tests that our attitude and our character is revealed. Who we really are, and how deep is our foundation, how strong is it. And the fire, the trials, the tests, will test each one's work of what sort it is. And that's what we're going through in the church right now, and in all of our lives. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And so we're talking about our future individually, personally, and we all love God. We love His people, the brethren. We love the church of God. We want to finish our lives with God's blessing and with success so that we can all say, I was a part of the church of God. And we served the brethren, and we did the work of God. We finished the work that He gave us to do. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. And we know what that solid foundation is. We just read about it. Paul said, I have laid it, and no other man can lay it, a different or better one. It's all based upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the leader, the coming kingdom of God. The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. And this is food for thought and meditation. The Lord knows those who are His. I don't, you don't, He does. Only God can see deep down inside people's heart. Only He knows the motives of people. Only He knows their thinking, their reasoning. Only He knows their temperament and their personality and their background and their upbringing and their culture. Only God knows their genetics all the way back to Adam and Eve. Only God truly understands everyone personally, individually, deeply. Only He knows who is truly converted. Only God knows those who are His. I used to think I did more, didn't you, years ago? But the more time goes on and the trials in the church, I realize I don't know. Only God knows. And then he adds, having this seal, two things. The Lord knows who are His, and everyone who names the name of Christ, depart from iniquity, depart from evil, depart from sin. And so the foundation upon which we build must be this, of examining our own lives, personally, individually, and our culture as a corporation, and how we do things and what we do, and to look to God to show us our sins, our faults, our mistakes. We'll talk about that a little bit later. This is what we all must do to strengthen our foundation according to the Word of God. Unless we begin to see ourselves better, our own human faults, sins, and mistakes, we're not going to strengthen the foundation. We'll just continue on as we are and not get any better or stronger. One other important scripture here about the foundation. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Notice verse 1. Preaching to the choir, all of you know these scriptures well, but we never know them well enough, do we? You can always go back in the Word of God, depending on what you're going through. And as you know, we drink out deeper meaning and understanding. So here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection," or as it says in the margin, maturity. We're to become more mature spiritually, more like Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, spiritual maturity, becoming more like Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it very plain and clear to all of us, we must follow his example. And he was tried and tested. Satan threw everything he could at Christ to try to cause him to sin, and he failed. And Christ suffered much accusations, persecution, hatred, everything could be suffered right to the death, didn't he? And we've got to be willing to follow that example. Whatever is thrown at us by Satan, the devil, just don't take it personally. That's the only way I've been able to survive this so far. Whatever was said, or well, just don't take it personally. Just keep focused, keep going. We've done that together. But let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. Notice one of the important foundational things of our personal lives and of the church. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That means from sins, from faults, from mistakes. A foundational doctrine of the Word of God, we all know, is repentance from dead works. And then faith toward God and the other foundational doctrines mentioned here. And so, let me make this statement, that what has caused the problems that we've had in the church, has always caused the problems that we've gone through, and many of us have been in the church now over 50 years, majority of our lives, by far. And we've been through many things before, many trials, big problems, divisions even, and people leaving, and things happening. It is sin that has caused the damage in the United Church of God, primarily on the part of the ministry and primarily in the leadership of the ministry. Let's face facts. Let's be honest. Let's be right up front with it. A lot of the brethren know this, see it, understand it. Looking at the history, it's always been the leadership and the ministry, and not only the ministry, all of us together, but then those in responsible positions within the ministry, leaders. And so I'll repeat that because it applies to me, you, and everyone, not only here in this hall, and not only in the United Church of God, but everywhere. It is sin that has caused the damage in the United Church of God, or any church, primarily on the part of the ministry, who are the leaders, who are supposed to be the pastors and the protectors of the brethren, God's people, and primarily in the leadership of the ministry. So what can we do to lay a better and stronger foundation in our ministry and in our leadership? I want to close my presentation with three key points from the Word of God that I believe are essential. If we're going to be a part of this new beginning and help strengthen the foundation before we continue to build the building of the United Church of God, if we've got a good, solid, strong, biblically based foundation, then we will finish the building and finish the work. And those who mock will look back and say, "I misjudged. I made a mistake." We all will, hopefully. And so these three key points are these. Number one, that we must do, all of us, together, collectively, but individually. Number one is repent of our pride and follow Christ's example of humility. We sure talk about it, don't we? We all know we're supposed to be humble. We talk about humility. We've given messages, sermons about humility. But we all fall short of being like Jesus Christ as much as we maybe want to be and should be and try to be. So the number one thing that I would like to point out here, and I'm preaching to me, not just to all of you, but sharing, with you from my heart and mind, and the responsibility that God has given me here now as president, put here by the Council of Elders. I submit to them, accept their authority in my life. Now, we've never had a perfect Council of Elders or perfect men, no matter who was on it, ever. And as I've told many of my brothers in Christ who made a different decision than I've made, that, hey, when United began, I knew our form of governance would not be perfect. I knew that. It never has been, even in all the previous years. And in God's church, the leadership of God's church, they're human. They've made mistakes. Servants of the Bible made big mistakes. Before United began, God's servants and leaders and those over us made mistakes. But I never, ever left the church because of the human leaders' sins and faults and mistakes. The only time I ever considered leaving an organization was so that I could obey God, keep His commandments, keep the Sabbath, keep the holy days, preach the kingdom of God, obey it, and preach it, and teach it, and live it. That's the only reason. That's why I'm still here in United, even though it's certainly an imperfect form of governance. And the real key to any form of governance is, in my opinion, I know there may be some who would disagree with this, I understand that, and I respect other brothers and other organizations who may have a different form of governance and believe deeply theirs is the only right one based upon the Bible. But I think, and I've said this to some of them, the fruits of our church organizations in the long run will bear out the truth. It is only by the fruits of a person's personal life and only by the fruits of that organization. Will God use United with our form of church governance? Yes, He already has, and I believe He will continue to do so. But if we'll do these things, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. First of all, if we will repent of our pride, each of us personally, individual, of our human pride and our human nature and our human egos that we struggle with, sometimes our need for recognition. We all have those needs. And the real recognition, of course, as we know, needs to come from God. So Philippians chapter 2, we know this well. Let this mind or attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We probably have that memorized, Philippians 2, 5. Let's give this priority, brethren. And notice verse 7. What example did he set? He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. You all know, I know, we know, don't seek position. I doubt if any of you went after being a minister, an elder, or a pastor, that you've just got to climb. You know, I won't go back. We don't need to go back to past mistakes or faults or things learned. But Jesus Christ set the example for us. He modeled it. He gave up his power, his glory, his positions, his honor, everything that he had to come and set an example, taking the form of a servant. And we'll talk about that later in our meetings, of what that means and how we can all be better servants of God's people, better servants of God in the ministry and in the church. And he came in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself. And so the example is genuine humility from the heart, not just talking about it. In fact, sometimes people talk about it too much in a wrong way. They, as you know, it's just got to be there. It's got to be an attitude and a spirit that is just there, a part of a person, not just head knowledge, but as we know, from the heart. So let's all work together, pray together, help one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get a little too big for our britches, let's remind one another, if we want United to succeed, we've got to realize this is important in our foundation. True humility. Repent of our pride and follow Christ's example. Let's keep doing that. And the second key point I would like to bring out is this. Change when God helps us see our sins and mistakes. Let's be willing to change. Now, I've read lots of stuff that has come in. Well, you all say you're sorry. You all said you made mistakes. You all say you've done wrong. Well, show it. Are you going to do things any differently now? Or is it going to be the same old, same old? Well, let's look at what God's Word says. If we want to strengthen United's foundation, we all have to be. That's why humility is first and most important. It takes that in order when God helps us to finally see, when God shows us, you made a mistake. You contributed to the problem. Comments you made, attitudes you had, things you have said, what you have done has contributed to the problem. We all must be willing to see that. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1. Let's not be this person that James talks about. Yes, let's read verse 22. We want to be this way. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Very possible, isn't it, for a person to deceive themselves into thinking that what they're doing is the right thing. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, which probably most of us did this morning, getting ready. He observes himself, but goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Doesn't change. When God says, look in the mirror and look at yourself and change. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of God, the mirror, the example of Jesus Christ, and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So secondly, a key point then, as United moves forward, let us change individually, personally, in the ministry, on the council, I as president, those who work with me. Let us be examining ourselves and how we do things and what we do. And let us be willing to change, not just because somebody's attacking or throwing out emails or angry, bitter, resentful, upset, and you caused this problem, not overreacting. People have to vent sometimes, and if we're leaders, we have to be willing to take it, because we should. Maybe we need that. I remember David's example when they were cursing him, and they were, let us deal with those. He said, no. Maybe I deserve it. But let us be willing to change. Let us have those humble hearts, not give up our responsibilities, our calling, our duties as leaders. You know, leaders have to be willing to make corrections, to accept criticism. That's the second key thing, change. When God helps us see our sins and mistakes. And then the third key point, as I close my message, is let us grow in godly love. Let us grow in godly love. We all want to. We know it's important. Let's read what Jesus said in closing. You've read it many times, and we need to read it many more times and ask God to help us to learn to do it. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We got started about 9:05, so I will be on time with my message, 30 minutes. Where Jesus said in verse 34, John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the key, as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I think we would all agree that the Church of God in general has a lot to learn about learning to love one another. Way in word, in action, and in deed. And then one final scripture on this one. 1 Corinthians 13, just one verse, verse 2. Let us keep this in mind as we move forward in the United Church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. But Paul, a man who certainly understood this and learned it, wrote, and though I have the gift of prophecy, though you are a great preacher, maybe understand prophecy, have gifts in that area, and though I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, great messages, great whatever. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have the love of God, agape love, I am nothing. Let us remember that, brethren. The first fruit of God's Spirit is love. God is love. And maybe that's one of the greatest qualities that we have been lacking in our lives and in the church of God. We want to love, and many of us do love, many of you do love from the heart. It's not that we don't have any of it, but when you look at the overall fruits of the churches of God and the problems, it's obvious that we do not yet have the fullness of the love for which Christ prayed for us to have and showed us that we should have. So let us pray. When you pray, and pray for many things, but don't forget every day to pray, Father, more than the gift of prophecy, more than just more knowledge, more than just more faith, those are important things, but more than anything, please, Father, help me, help us to grow in your love so that we do not fail. And so I conclude, fellow elders and wives, this is a new beginning for the United Church of God. Let us strengthen our foundation and finish the work that God has given us to do.